नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 13 Text 32, the chapter entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person. Pasyami daninam klesham lubdhanam ajitatmanam भयद अलब्ध निद्रानाम सर्वतो विविसांकिनाम पश्यामि दनिनाम क्लेशम लुब्धानाम अजितात्मनाम भयाद अलब्ध निद्रानाम सर्वतो विविसांकिनाम। माताजी प्लीज। Pasyami, I can practically see daninam of persons who are very rich, klesam, the miseries, lubdhanam, who are extremely greedy, ajita atmanam, who are victims of their senses, bhayat, because of fear, alabdha nidranam, who are suffering from insomnia, sarvata, from all sides, abhivisi visankinam, being particularly afraid. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation. the Brahmana continued, I am actually seeing how a rich man who is a victim of his senses is very greedy to accumulate wealth and therefore suffers from insomnia due to fear from all sides despite his wealth and opulence. Purport. Greedy capitalists accumulate wealth under so many miserable conditions. The result being that because they collect money by questionable means, their minds are always agitated. Thus they are unable to sleep at night, and they have to take pills for mental tranquility to invite sleep. And sometimes even the pills are a failure. Consequently, the result of having accumulated money by so much labor is certainly not happiness, but only distress. What is the value of acquiring a comfortable position if one's mind is always disturbed? Narottam Das Thakur has therefore sung, Samsara Bisanale Divanisi Hi Ajwale Judaite Na Kainu Upai. I'm suffering from the poisonous effect of material enjoyment. Thus my heart is always burning and is almost on the verge of failure. The result of the greedy capitalist's unnecessary accumulation of wealth is that he must suffer from a blazing fire of anxiety and always be concerned with how to save his money and invest it properly to get more and more. Such a life is certainly not very happy, because of the spell of the illusory energy, materialistic persons engage in such activities. As far as our Krishna consciousness movement is concerned, we are getting money naturally by the grace of God by selling our literature. This literature is not sold for our sense gratification to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. We need so many things. And Krishna is therefore supplying us the requisite money to advance this mission. The mission of Krishna is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And for this purpose, we must have sufficient money. The mission of Krishna Krishna is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and for this purpose we naturally must have sufficient money. Therefore, according to the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, we should not give up attachment to money that can spread Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-256, Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshibhi parityago vairagyam phalgu katyate. When a person eager to achieve liberation renounce things which are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, though they are material, this is called incomplete renunciation. Money that can help in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is not a part of the material world, and we should not give it up thinking that it is material. Srila Rupa Goswami advises, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataram Upayunjita Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. When one is not attached to anything but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-255. Money is undoubtedly coming in great quantities, but we should not be attached to this money for sense gratification. Every cent should be spent for spreading Krishna consciousness movement, not for sense gratification. There is a danger for a preacher when he receives a great quantities of money, for as soon as he spends even a single cent of the collection for his personal sense gratification, he becomes a fallen victim. The preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement should be extremely careful not to misuse the immense quantities of money needed to spread this movement. Let us not make this money the cause of our distress. It should be used for Krishna, and that will cause our eternal happiness. Money is Lakshmi, or the goddess of fortune, the companion of Narayana. Lakshmi ji must always remain with Narayana, and then there need be no fear of degradation. Om Agyanatim Randasiganjana Chalakaya Chakshur Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Destarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaurav Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So in this verse, the Avadhut Brahman is speaking about renunciation. Chanakya Pandit also said three things. He said, a symptom of a spiritual person is that he treats other people's pain and pleasure like his own. He treats other people's wife like his mother. And he sees other people's property just like garbage in the street. So, this is a symptom of a spiritual person. I was actually distributing books in a college campus, and this girl asked me, like, so what does it mean to be spiritual? So I was just explaining to her these three things. And then one black lady walked past and she said, what did you say? Can you say that again? And then I said, you know, symptom of a spiritual person means he does not want to steal other people's property. He sees them just like garbage, and he sees other people's wife like mother, and other people's pain like just like his own. She said, how much is that book cost? So the student that I was talking to didn't buy the book, but the lady that just walked by, she was listening, you know, and she bought the book. So, this is the, everybody has some idea of, some understanding of renunciation. Even the materialists, I saw one Facebook quote on Facebook. It said, nowadays people are buying things they don't need with the money that's not theirs, and to impress people that they don't like. So this is what's going on. So everybody has some kind of understanding that, you know, we shouldn't enjoy this world, we should give up this world. Even materialists, when they see a devotee, they have no idea of bhakti yoga. It's like this one guy, he comes to bhakti house, all the time he's asking about the same thing. So he's coming for like almost like couple of years now, but he keeps asking the same thing. Oh, so we're not supposed to be attached to material things, right? We're not supposed to be attached to material things, right? But he doesn't get it that that's not the message that we're trying to give in bhakti house or in the temple. The message is we're supposed to be attached to Krishna. And that's what Prabhupada actually takes us to another level in this purport. Prabhupada is giving some insight into what this Brahman is saying. also parts of the purport, Prabhupada is explaining this understanding of Yukta Vairagya, using everything in Krishna's service. Actually, if you're not Krishna conscious, it's actually impossible to be detached from these worldly attachments anyways. It's not possible, because this maya is too strong. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya, Krishna says. Krishna says it's my maya and it's almost insurmountable. So in a sense, if you're not Krishna conscious, we cannot give up maya. But on the other hand, one who practices bhakti yoga, even if there is some attachments to material things, gradually he will become purified. That's why Krishna says, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyavak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito isa. Krishna says, even if you see a devotee acting in an abominable way, still Krishna says that he considers that devotee a saintly person. As soon as we see somebody making mistake, immediately like be ready to judge. But even Krishna is saying, if a devotee makes a mistake, still Krishna sees that person as a saintly person because he's on the right path. He will become purified. Like in ISKCON, we have this statement like, don't criticize somebody that's in the shower. Means if they stay in the shower long enough, they will come out clean. So this very nice verse, Bhagavatam explains, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chaya Dahaitukum. That just by rendering devotional service unto Krishna, automatically these things that we are discussing, they follow, just like a shadow follows the hand. Janayati Asu Vairagyam. Knowledge and detachment from material things, these things automatically follow a person who is fully Krishna conscious. Just like we can study our disciplic succession and we can understand, you know, you can see the life of Prabhupada or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada or Bhakti Vinod Thakur. They had like no attachment whatsoever for anything material for their selfish reasons. It's like Bhakti Vinod Thakur, when he exposed this bogus yogi who called himself incarnation of Vishnu, Vishikshen, his name? Vishikshen. He called himself Vishnu, but Bhakti Vinod Thakur went to talk to him, had a meeting with him. And this yogi being so powerful, he could immediately see, you know, this Bhakti Vinod Thakur is coming with this purpose in mind that he's going to arrest me and, you know, embarrass me and like this. So this Vishikshen was so powerful. He was actually really powerful yogi that the husbands would willingly send their wife to sleep with him and dance with him, thinking he's Vishnu and he's having rasa dance. That, how much people trusted him and respected him, he had so much powers. And he said to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, you know, if you just don't get on my case, just leave me alone, I can make you the king of Orissa. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, you know, he was not at all interested, you know. Can you imagine, like, somebody told us, like, we'll make you the president of, mayor of California, we'll think twice, you know, before we refuse. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur was even more disgusted. He said, so what's your philosophy? And Vishikshen said, oh, my philosophy is that Jagannath is just wood, but I'm the real Vishnu here, so, you know, everybody should worship me and surrender unto me. And being a great Vaishnava, that really agitated Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and we all know the history, what happened. So, these are all pure devotees, because they have so much love for Krishna. Naturally, they're not disturbed by greed and lust and all these things. They saw the great devotees, like Prabhupada, for example, he saw everything as energy of Krishna. Prabhupada was completely seeing everything as energy of Krishna. It's like this famous pastime. Prabhupada was walking around in a field and Prabhupada kept asking the disciples, "Do you see? Do you see?" And everybody looking around, seeing what's Prabhupada seeing? Krishna's rasa dance, or he's seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or what's Prabhupada seeing? But Prabhupada was seeing a tap that was half open. There was a faucet, water faucet, the water was leaking. So Prabhupada was disturbed that he's seeing that, but the disciples were not seeing and the energy is being wasted, so Prabhupada wanted to be turned off. And this famous walk, when Prabhupada was walking right here in Venice Beach, everybody was so happy to see the sunset. And the disciples said, "Oh, Prabhupada, such a beautiful sunset." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you like the artwork? What would you do if you saw the artist?" So the disciples were seeing something very beautiful, but Prabhupada saw personally that, you know, Krishna is right there. Prabhupada was seeing Krishna in the sunset. So being a selfless devotee, fully Krishna conscious, he was completely, Prabhupada was completely detached and completely renounced. And he was really in the mood of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani, janmanishvare, bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai." Whatever we want as conditioned souls in the material world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in one sloka, all the things that, and he didn't want those things. "Na dhanam," I don't want any wealth, I don't want any dhanam, janam, I don't want any followers. "Sundarim," I don't want any opposite sex, beautiful. I don't want to be an eloquent speaker. So Prabhupada was actually in this mood, being a pure devotee. And Prabhupada once in a letter, he actually wrote, somebody was asking about like being a successful preacher. Prabhupada saying how if we think that there is actually any happiness in this material world, our preaching won't be like so effective. Because if you're thinking that there is happiness in this world and also let's add a little bit Krishna consciousness, that doesn't work. On the other hand, sometimes we could also feel like, "Oh, you know, I'm so miserable since I started chanting Hare Krishna. Why should I introduce this poor soul who looks happier than me? You know, why should I interfere in his life and make him miserable?" So Prabhupada is writing that we have to be completely convinced. For us to make progress in spiritual life, we have to be completely convinced that there is actually no happiness in material enjoyment or material endeavors or material accumulation. That's like a good start for our spiritual enthusiasm. Therefore, Prabhupada is writing here how in the translation that, you know, people, Prabhupada is saying, a rich man who is a victim of his senses is very greedy to accumulate wealth and therefore suffers from insomnia. I typed in Google to see like, you know, what are the famous people that suffered from insomnia. There's actually a huge list. And first one came up was Michael Jackson. It's not like we're against Michael Jackson, but this is what the Google is saying. And it says one of the main causes of his death was insomnia. He was not able to speak for a long time, for a very long time, and he was just desperate just to be able to get some rest, just to be able to get some sleep. And just to be able to get some sleep, he was like hiring all kinds of expensive doctors. Can you imagine how much wealth he had and all kinds of medical facilities he had? And they were prescribing him, you know, these large doses of sleeping medicine, enough to make one horse sleep. And the side effects were like so severe, and he was suffering so much. And then finally, there's so much details we can get into, it's so graphic, but he was actually explaining in one phone call to his doctor how half of his body feels like it was set on fire and half was like freezing cold. Can you imagine feeling like that? We can't even stand one headache, you know. So you can have all kinds of wealth and you can be called as a king of this and king of that, but, you know, what's the use? Material dukhale mashashvatam, Krishna explains very clearly, no matter who you are, you have to suffer. It's like Bhagavatam explains the life of Chitraketu, King Chitraketu. You know, he was actually the king, I don't know if he was the king of the planet, he was actually a very powerful king. And he married a wife and he couldn't have a son, he married two, he couldn't have a son, he had married three, he couldn't have a son. This way he kept marrying till, Bhagavatam explains, he had 1 crore wives. I don't know what's 1 crore in, 10 million wives. 10 million wives he had. Still couldn't have a son. And Narada Muni has come to give him spiritual... Who came to see him? Angira. Angira Muni came to give him spiritual wisdom, but he was so agitated. Can you imagine his situation? Here he is, you know, he's like so wealthy, so opulent. He was the king. He has 10 million wives, but no son. He's not willing to listen to anything spiritual. And he himself says, you know, just because I have this one desire that's unfulfilled, I'm so miserable. So this is the nature of the mind. Mind is there. Even if you're in a happier situation, the mind is constantly browsing, constantly searching for a situation to lock on and start feeling anxiety. So King Chitraketu was not happy. And Muchakunda, when he's talking to Krishna, Muchakunda says, just like this desire to accumulate wealth, it's actually like a kind of drug, it's like an intoxication. We actually feel intoxicated in this desire to accumulate wealth. And while we are in this intoxicated state, just like a hungry snake, Bhagavatam says, when a snake is hungry, he starts like sticking out his tongue in and out really fast. That's like a symptom that he's really hungry. And a hungry snake is like looking at a rat to devour the rat. While a person is busy accumulating wealth, he's so intoxicated and then the death strikes. Death strikes when you least expect. That's the nature of the world. We are like removed from the face of the earth like any given moment. I was discussing last night in Bhakti House how there was this guy in China. He tried to commit suicide, so he jumped off this really tall building trying to kill himself. But then he jumped on top of a guy who was just buying some veggies downstairs and killed him. And this guy was completely safe. He just stands up and like he's looking so bewildered, like, what happened? You know, I didn't die. And the other guy died, so, you know, he's getting arrested. Imagine the situation of the guy who is just buying vegetables, all kinds of dreams and desires and dinner planned and, you know. But Muchakunda is explaining that, you know, this is the situation. While we are busy accumulating wealth, death approaches. So an intelligent person is very detached. It's like Sanatana Goswami, for example. He had so much wealth. He had so much wealth that he gave it all to this jail keeper. He told the jail keeper, if the king is out of town, if you actually release me, I'll go to Mecca, the holy place for Muslims. And he preached to the guard saying, if you let somebody go to Mecca, you know, you will attain heavens and you'll get so much pious credit, so let me go. And the guard was still not convinced. And Sanatana Goswami said, I have so much gold coin I can give you. Can you let me go? And this guy let him go. Sanatana Goswami told him, just tell the king, you know, I went to Pastool near the river and I got drowned, so you'll be okay, and for sure the king will never see me again. I'm going far away to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sanatana Goswami took one guard and he was on his way to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sanatana Goswami took one assistant with him called Ishan. And Sanatana Goswami and Ishan was staying in a motel overnight. And being so intelligent, Sanatana Goswami can see this motel owner. I don't know if he was a Patel, but rest house. The inn, right? It's an inn. So this guy was like super nice. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, too much devotion is a sign of a thief. So this guy in charge of the rest house was, you know, going out of his way to be nice to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami asked his assistant, do you have any money with you? Do you have anything valuable with you? And Ishan said, yeah, I actually have 7 gold coins. So why you brought death with you? Why don't you go and return, give it to the, you know, motel owner? Because I'm feeling something suspicious. So they went to give the gold coins to the guy. And he said, you know, I have an astrologer who predicted that you have these gold coins. So I was actually going to kill you tonight to take all these coins from you. So good thing you actually brought the coins and gave it to me. And the motel owner, he was actually so moved by Sanatana Goswami's intelligence and devotion, he said, actually, I don't want your coins. Just stay here comfortable. You can go on your way tomorrow. I will actually assist you on your travels. And Sanatana Goswami said, actually, if you don't accept these coins, somebody else will kill me for this. So it's better that you take it. So he just got rid of the coins. And still the next day, he asked Ishan, do you have still any more coins left with you? And Ishan said, yeah, I have one more left. He says, okay, you take that and go home. Because, you know, you're lying to me and you're bringing danger to my travels, so you go home. So Sanatana Goswami kept going. And then he came across his brother-in-law, Srikant Sena, who had large sums of money because he was actually working for a king. And Srikant Sena offered him, can I give you some horses, or can I give you some money, or can I give you something? And Sanatana Goswami said, no, I don't want anything. I'm just on my way to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srikant Sena actually begged him, say, at least please accept this one valuable, nice looking woolen blanket. So that way I'll be happy. And Sanatana Goswami accepted. And then when he went to Benares, to the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, Sanatana Goswami can actually see that, Lord Chaitanya can see that Sanatana Goswami is standing outside. So he actually sent Chandrasekhar Acharya, please go outside and see if there is any Vaishnava, any devotee outside. And Chandrasekhar went outside, looked around, came back and said, no, there's no devotee. And Mahaprabhu asked him, is there anybody outside? Yes, there is one Muslim mendicant outside. No, he's not a Muslim mendicant. Go bring him inside. So Chandrasekhar Acharya brought Sanatana Goswami inside. And Mahaprabhu was so pleased to see Sanatana Goswami has given up his kingdom and gold and, you know, serving under the Muslims, and he's taken great risks to actually come to see him. But Mahaprabhu kept looking at this valuable blanket that Sanatana Goswami is wearing. Can you believe how strict is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Here is somebody who gave up everything, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept looking at the blanket. And Sanatana Goswami, being so intelligent, can understand, oh, he's not authorizing this. So he went to a poor person washing his quilt, torn quilt in the near river. And Sanatana Goswami actually gave him his nice blanket and exchanged that for the quilt. And then Mahaprabhu smiled to him, saying, yes, you know, now you're free from even this last attachment. So this is a very nice science. Just by reading the acharyas, we can understand how to live in this world and how to deal with money, how to deal with all the resources of the world without becoming entangled. And Prabhupada explains in the purport how by book distribution we are getting all the money we need. This is actually the yajna for the age. When you perform sacrifice, then the Lakshmi comes. It's like one time in Australia, in one temple, they were selling stickers. So my Guru Maharaj was making a funny remark to the temple president. He said, Prabhupada didn't come with two heart attacks and a box of stickers. Prabhupada came with two heart attacks and a box of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should be distributing these books, not stickers. Like Srivas Prabhu also has this conviction that he often tells us how, just distribute the books, Lakshmi will come, don't worry, just distribute the books. And of course, Dadit Mataji also gives sometimes donations from hard-earned money from Govinda's boutique, so we can distribute books without anxiety. So Prabhupada really wanted this, that we distribute books, and Prabhupada is explaining in the purport how this is the yajna. And by performing this yajna, Krishna will send us large sums of money. It's not the question that, you know, we're not in anxiety that we don't have money. The anxiety is how we're going to use the money properly. This is the yajna. And Prabhupada also explained just that politicians, you know, when they're standing, when they're in campaign, the politicians actually spend large sums of money just to promote themselves. And that psychology actually comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So if we are actually distributing books and preaching Krishna consciousness, guaranteed that we will not starve, rather we will get like enough Lakshmi to maintain ourselves. We can see even householders that have big jobs like doctors and engineers, they're in anxiety. But I see devotees, couples that are just serving full-time Krishna and just, you know, preaching or assisting preaching, they're so happy, you know, they're so happy, so much so everybody else is envious of them. So this process actually works, because Krishna explained, Brahma explains, Lakshmi sahasrasata sambrahma sevyamanam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Krishna has been served by hundreds and millions of goddesses of fortune. So if we're actually serving Krishna, we're not going to starve. Like Rukmini, you know, when Krishna kept eating this chipped rice that Sudama brought, Rukmini actually stopped Krishna after three mouthfuls, saying, if you take one more, then I personally have to go and become a maidservant in the house of Sudama, because I've already given him all the material opulences I can possibly give. So Rukmini personally stopped him. So we're actually living in Rukmini Dham, so we don't have to be in anxiety. We just have to read Prabhupada's books and distribute them as much as possible, and guaranteed we will have a nice life and nice death also, like we saw yesterday. So Vas Prabhu arranged this very nice Sraddha ceremony for Subhuti Prabhu, even though he left in an undesirable way, but so much mercy was there. So many devotees offering prayers and yajna and prasadas. Krishna is so grateful. Devotees are so grateful. We are taken care of. We don't need to constantly be in anxiety about our personal, like selfish defense. Any questions or comments? Archita Prabhu.
One minor correction, but important. You quoted Chanaka Pandit so much so that the lady stopped and bought the book. But your translation of that first line is a little bit off. He says, Matravat Paradareshu, which doesn't mean that I see others' wives as my mother. It means I see all women as my mother, except for my own wife. Very, very important distinction there. Because it's kind of easy for people to see others' women as their property and then all other women I can chase after. But that's not what Chandra Pandit is saying. He's saying that you see all women as mother except your wife if you're married. If you're not married, that means you see all women as mother. Important distinction.
John, thank you for the clarification. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.